getting everything ready and set up here, I would invite you to take a pew Bible and open it to page 879. 879. Or you can use your own Bibles and simply open it up to the book of Daniel. I'd make it sound like a movie or some kind of a commercial if I said, now we're finally into this highly anticipated preaching series on Daniel. But I kind of know, because so many of you kept asking me, when are you starting Daniel? When are you starting Daniel? Today, we're starting Daniel. We get to this portion of God's Word. Actually, I'm going to start us in Daniel chapter 4. Since I've changed the whole order of service and other things, might as well change the order of the way the chapters work, right? No, there's a very clear reason, as you will see, that we're starting in Daniel 4, the first three verses. But before we read those, let's pray. Father, we have confessed through singing to you a song of praise that we believe that you are the Father, that Jesus is your one and only Son, and that your Holy Spirit brings us new life. Now, Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit would come, instill our souls and minds, so that we might hear all that you have to say to us from this book, and especially in these moments this morning. And even though he may not be named, the shadow of Jesus Christ looms large over this entire book. Help us to see him who cast that shadow as we look back with that eye of faith. Father, as your word is read, as your word is proclaimed, as your word is received, transform lives to look and sound far more like your Son than they do of this earth. Do this, Father, and we know that you will indeed be glorified. Amen. Standing by a purpose true, heeding God's command, honor them, the faithful few, all hail to Daniel's band. Many mighty men are lost, daring not to stand, who for God have been a host by joining Daniel's band. Many giants, great and tall, stalking through the land, headlong to the earth would fall if met by Daniel's band. Hold the gospel banner high, on to victory grand, Satan and his host defy, and shout for Daniel's band. Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose firm. Dare to make it known. I would venture to guess a good many of you grew up with that song in Sunday school at some time in a younger day. It's a good song. But I'm going to step on it right away and say, it's just all right. Because what if I can't stand? What if I don't heed God's command? What if these giants, great and tall, stalking through the land, and today they might not be literal, but they might be ideologies that stand against us. What if I'm not a part of Daniel's band? How do I stand? How do I survive? It's a good song, but the song doesn't tell us an answer to that question. So, instead of that being our theme song for Daniel, we've already sung it, and we'll keep singing it a lot. When I fear my faith will fail, Christ will hold me fast. When the tempter would prevail, he will hold me fast. I could never keep my hold through life's fearful path, for my love is often cold. He must hold me fast. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast, for my Savior loves me so. He will hold me fast. That is the theme song of Daniel. It's glorifying God's sovereignty over all things, indeed even me, holding on to me because He loves me so and has saved me. I'm convinced and becoming more and more convinced as I continue on in ministry that every book of the Bible has a melody line, a song that you should be able to hear. There may be other harmonies that are woven in and around it, but the melody will always stand out. It's the thing that we always find ourselves humming sometime, even if we don't know the words. It's the melody. Well, I want to consider that this morning as we launch into Daniel. What is Daniel's song? And it's a song of God's sovereignty over all things, over all men, over all kingdoms. It's a song that tells us that we can survive and thrive when giants great and tall come against us. So let's give a listen to Daniel's song and let's learn to sing it with him. Daniel 4, verses 1 through 3, give us this melody. King Nebuchadnezzar, to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. It has seemed good to me to show the signs and wonders that the Most High God has done for me. How great are His signs, how mighty His wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and His dominion endures from generation to generation. We're going to hear the song of Daniel. So first, let's hear of the public praise of God to the world. This is what Nebuchadnezzar does. Nebuchadnezzar is the emperor of the Babylonian Empire at this point. We'll learn more about some of the details of who he is and where this empire came from and why Daniel is there and not back at home next Lord's Day, Lord willing. But for now, simply see the king, perhaps standing on one of the great walls of the city of Babylon that were so wide that chariots could run like a modern-day highway across its top, and proclaiming to his city, to his nation, and to all the earth. But what kind of proclamation was this? Well, it was a public proclamation. I suppose it might be like a presidential State of the Union or some Christmas address by the Queen of England. Now, this was probably not the only time that the Emperor Nebuchadnezzar addressed his entire city or nation, but it's certainly most the far-reaching because he wants it to go out to all the earth, to all other nations, which tells us something important that Nebuchadnezzar is learning. God is not private, nor should his praise be. It's a public proclamation. So should the praise of God be public. Daniel and his close friends, as we will learn, and as some of you already know because you're familiar at least with the stories, they were not private in their witness to who the one true living God was. And here, this foreign king who had taken them into captivity is clearly not being private either. And the messages of God's grace and mercy, they should never be kept quiet. They need to be told. They need to be sung. They need to be proclaimed from the rooftops if they can. And something else about this praise is it's not just reserved for a long, long time ago. God's praise is for all nations to give as well as to participate in. In Psalm 67, we hear this. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all the nations. God is working at creating a new race out of humanity. And this new race of humanity is known as God's people. People from all nations will make up this new race of humanity. And it's already going on. It will continue on throughout eternity, this kind of praise, then, now, and always. The 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood were ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." This book of Daniel intends that we all come to know this one true living God through His Ancient of Days, through His Son, Jesus Christ. Nothing restrains this refrain. It will be sung. Our God reigns. So you hear this public praise to God, but now we need to listen to the other piece of this melody that's going out, that there is a personally profound work of God in our lives. This is Nebuchadnezzar in verse 2. "It seemed good to me to show the signs and wonders that the Most High God has done for me." Sometimes those who believe in the absolute, complete, and total sovereignty of God get critiqued by those who don't. They claim that we think God is cold, that it's just some cold, distant, impersonal doctrine. But nothing could be further from the truth. Again, look what Nebuchadnezzar says. These are the things that the Most High God, that's a sovereign God, has done for me, me personally. God's total sovereignty, as He works it out, always reveals His true nature, just not a little sliver of it, but every part of it. And this God is not aloof. He's not just a name that's ascribed so we can have something to use when we're talking about doctrine. This sovereign God enters the world of sinful men, and He deals with each of us personally. His Son, Jesus Christ, as we learned for nearly 3 years in the book of Matthew, came as the King to establish His kingdom, to begin it on earth and to see it fulfilled in heaven, and invite the likes of you and me to be its citizens and to sing His praise. And when He did that, He changed us. He transformed us. He made us a new creation. We're given a new heart. Sometimes He does this exceedingly personally, even as He's about to do in chapter 4 with King Nebuchadnezzar. And we'll get to that in a few weeks, months. We'll get there. Nebuchadnezzar, though, is singing of God's kindness and mercy toward him. The beginning of chapter 4 and the end of chapter 4 are like the sandwich boards of praise over this event that God brought him through. And he cannot help but sing of God's saving grace that flows from Him being a sovereign God. God is the God of free sovereign grace. To me, it's the warmest doctrine of all. And this personally profound public proclamation is a proclamation of transformation. This is what Nebuchadnezzar starts to sing about. He's been changed. He's no longer the same, changed dramatically in this case. But the sovereign God of the universe comes close by the preaching of the Word through His Holy Spirit. And you hear about Jesus Christ and you feel as if it's coming right to you alone in spite of the fact that there are others gathered around you. And God is dealing with you personally, profoundly, so that He might transform you. So the glorious sovereignty of God is deeply personal, it's powerfully intimate, and it is graciously free. And this is what Nebuchadnezzar wants other people to know about. Peace be multiplied to you. It's not just a blessing. I think it's a foreshadowing of that which Paul writes of in Romans chapter 5. "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." That's how peace gets multiplied. By grace through faith, you are transformed, made new because of Jesus Christ. We believe and are made new. And we have this delightful peace. This is all part of the song of the book of Daniel. But also make sure in this melody line, there are really three strands to it, that you make sure you hear the powerful provision of our sovereign God. How great are His signs, how mighty His wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. His dominion endures from generation to generation. This is the melody line of Daniel, so strong, so clear, rising above all other notes of harmony. There are a lot of notes here. There's signs and mighty wonders. There are kingdoms and kings that are being sung about. The theme of this melody is all about everlasting and full of dominion and enduring. These are the notes that you'll keep hearing again and again from Daniel chapter 1, verse 1 to the very end of chapter 12. The Most High God, a sovereign God, is establishing His kingdom on earth. Earthly nations, empires, governments will come and go. Assyria was once the most powerful nation on earth, but Babylon proved to be more so. Then Babylon was the most powerful, most wide-reaching empire known in the history of man. And yet seemingly, almost overnight, the Medes and the Persians come in and they take over and they expand the borders. But they will be nothing like the young upstart named Alexander who comes out of Macedonia and the Greeks come and sweep over everything in the shortest period of time ever to establish an entire dominant culture and empire. But it doesn't last, because there in the middle of that boot called Italy, Rome is growing and building, and the mighty power of their military spread almost to the whole known world. Centuries later, it's Great Britain with their great naval fleet that can go everywhere in the world and establish colonies under the banner of the British flag. They seem to rule over the earth, but they fell. They have faded. It's no longer a British empire. And it seemed, in a simplified way, that America then ascended. Is it an empire? I don't know that I'd call it that. But for a long time, people have always referred to it as the greatest, most powerful nation on earth. When will we fade away, as all other kingdoms and empires and nations have done, to some greater power? It may not even be an earthly power, because all worldly empires have been and will be eclipsed by God's kingdom. No matter which one, no matter how great, no matter how strong militarily, no matter how enduring they seem to be, and you could trace the history that's about 250 to 300 years each one of these lasted, God will win out over all of them. He will, because He is the sovereign God. These are the notes of this melody, of the song of this book that Daniel sings for us. Just hear a few of these notes again. In chapter 4, verse 17, Nebuchadnezzar's talking about this event that's about to come and happen to him. And this is going to happen to the end that the living may know that the Most High rules the kingdoms of men and gives it to whom He will and sets it over the lowliest of men. Verse 25, hear the same note. God's foretelling that Nebuchadnezzar is going to be driven insane and have to go out and live with the animals for almost 7 years. This is, you're going to be made like an animal, and this is going to be what's happening. And 7 periods of time shall pass over you till you know that the Most High rules the kingdoms of men and gives it to whom He will. Verse 26, and as it was commanded to leave the stumps of the root of the tree, your kingdom shall be confirmed for you from the time that you know that heaven rules. Verse 32, and you shall be driven from among men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, until you know that the Most High rules the kingdoms of men and gives it to whom He will. And those verses then we heard read just a few moments ago. And I bless the Most High. This is the same king. Now he knows it. I blessed the Most High and praised and honored Him who lives forever. For His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom endures from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing. And He does according to His will among the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of earth. And none can stay His hand or say to Him, "What have you done?" This is the Most High God. This is the sovereign God who rules over all things and every kingdom. And we who are His people can survive and thrive no matter what. If you hear nothing except that out of the book of Daniel, I think I would be able to say with a humble confidence that God is speaking His word to you. The amazing thing, when you study that chapter alone, you will see what length God will go to make sure you sing His song. Well, there are some harmonies in there too. It's not just all melody. It's not just always going to be every single Sunday, sovereignty of God, sovereignty of God, sovereignty of God. Oh, you'll always hear that, but these harmonies make it, they just enrich the melody. They bring it out. It's like when I sometimes just stop singing and listen to all of your voices sing. And I hear those of you who know harmony, and you're blending together, and it is so rich because it brings that melody even stronger. We'll see some of this in those very earliest of chapters, probably the most familiar out of all of Daniel, because a great deal is going to be said about kings and kingdoms in chapter 1, but you'll really see this in Nebuchadnezzar's rather bizarre dream in chapter 2 and how God gives Daniel the dream and the interpretation of it. And kingdoms come, kingdoms go, but God's kingdom is forever. I could preach chapter 7 through 12, all the prophecies in one sermon by just saying that. Kingdoms come, kingdoms go, but God's kingdom is forever. And His Son will reign over it. Now, so far I've been starting the book of Daniel by talking about Nebuchadnezzar. But Daniel's voice comes in there in chapter 2. Hear it. Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with Him. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and might and have made known to me what we asked of you. God, you are sovereign. Not just the interpretation of a dream, but you told me what the dream was. That's a sovereign God who rules over all things. We should proclaim it publicly. We should rejoice and see the powerful provision of our God. Because what we see in all of this, in the book of Daniel, is for you and for me. It's for today, in the time, in the culture in which we live. Now that, to many of us, just almost sounds so obvious it didn't even need to be stated. Of course, God's word is living and active, which means, of course, Daniel is for today. But when famous preachers who have the name of a famous preaching father tell you to unhitch yourself from the Old Testament because it's really not relevant to today, I'm sorry, there's times I want to find them and just shake them. How dare you say this about the living, active Word of God, especially like a book with Daniel? We need this Old Testament song of Daniel, this Word that came from God. Is God's Word relevant? Absolutely. Always. Always. Daniel is about God's everlasting kingdom. And do we not see kingdoms shaking and in chaos and in disruption, even our own today? We need this song. And the marks of this kingdom are being made known. God's kingdom brings peace. Peace be to all of you, Nebuchadnezzar says, because I know this Most High God. I know this sovereign God who rules over all things. All other kingdoms, all other nations, all other empires, all other governments, all other leaders bring nothing but chaos and war and death. God's kingdom brings transformation. If you become a citizen of His kingdom, you will never be the same. And if you look the same, sound the same, live the same, you were like that wedding guest who showed up at the wedding feast and was dressed poorly might be the least we could say. And Jesus said, why are you here like this? And he had no answer, speechless before a sovereign king. And he said, take this man and throw him out into utter darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We must be changed if we see Christ. And as we see with Nebuchadnezzar, this needs a public proclamation. You can't keep this quiet. You can't keep this silent. Sing about it, talk about it, shout about it, debate about it, write books or articles about it. Daniel's song needs to be our song because it is the song of the whole Bible. This entire book is in the melody of Daniel. You and I should know this song because in Jesus Christ, he's called the Ancient of Days in this book, is the fulfillment of all that Nebuchadnezzar is singing about. I don't know that Nebuchadnezzar knew that. I mean, he was just learning about the Most High God. But this Ancient of Days, this promised one who would deliver and establish a kingdom that does away with all the kingdoms of men, he'll learn. But that's the song of the whole Bible. Even the Gospels, just the Gospels alone, tell us this. I mean, I spent almost 3 years in the Gospel of Matthew proclaiming that Jesus is the King, God's only Son, who came to establish and start the kingdom and bring citizens into it. In the Gospel of Mark, Jesus, in effect, sings this song when he stands up for the first time and sings the song by preaching. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. That's the song of Daniel and all of Scripture. Luke says you can't keep this quiet. You can't keep it to yourself. At the very end of Luke, it says this, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations. There it is. It's a public proclamation. It has to go into all the world. What will this do? It will show us that that very peace of God that is ours because we're justified by faith in Jesus Christ is truly ours from Christ. Peace I leave with you, said John in chapter 14. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. That's chaos, death, and war, remember? Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. That's the song of Daniel. Don't be afraid. Don't be anxious. God on his throne and his Son reigns. Daniel's song needs to be our song. He will hold me fast is the theme song we'll be using to draw that out. We're going to sing it for several Sundays till you know it well, and then we'll come back to it again at various times. But you need to learn it so you can sing it to yourselves all day long, especially when you feel under it and in the thick of it and almost overwhelmed by it. And even as the Sunday school chorus talked about, giants great and tall loom there large. You know, it's not me who's standing strong. It's him who holds me. Sing it to one another when we come. I hope that every Sunday we sing this song. It just gets more boisterous, and we'll have to have the trustees patch up cracks in the ceiling because it just can't withstand our voice of praise to God. And then sing it to others. Okay, well, maybe a few of you don't sing it, but tell it to others. Yeah, I'm looking at you. Sorry, Russ. Tell it to others. And I know he does. It must be sung so that we will all know this is the God who loves us and gave us his Son to live and die on the cross so that our sins could be forgiven, so that we could rise again to new life, a life that is eternal in its quality. It's like no life you'd ever, ever even dream of, and it is life eternal in quantity because it will never, ever end. That's the song we must sing. Do you know this song and the one it's about?